Praise the Lord. If you have your Bibles, I'd like you to turn to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 18. This has been our text for our time of study this month. We're talking about the power of agreement. Agreement is important. And there it releases a great power. And here in Matthew chapter 18 and verses 19 and 20, he says, "Again I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven." So isn't that amazing how when two people enter an agreement, heaven is listening? So heaven looks to back up godly agreement. Amen? And then he says, "For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them." Can you say amen?
Amen.
Say, Jesus is here.
Jesus is
here. So I'm just going to go over a summary of a definition, and then we want to go where we need to go to today. So what does it mean for two people to agree? All right? What does that look like? What does that sound like? For two people to agree, they need to be harmonious. All right? They need to be suitable. There needs to be a harmonious blending. All right? It is when two people, they sound alike or they say the same thing. Okay? And there is a union, and it's closer than companionship. It's like they're entwined together. How many know that you could take a small strand of a rope, but that wouldn't hold you up too well? But if you were to bind that strand with other strands, right? And you make a rope, and that rope is more likely to hold you up. In other words, there's more power in agreement than there is in disagreement. Amen? Okay? To agree means to say the same thing and to have the same opinion. It means that they're both focused on the same thing. Okay? This is important. If you know what agreement is, then you can recognize disagreement. And did you know that we can disagree agreeably? How many know that Jesus didn't agree with the Pharisees? He didn't agree with self-righteousness or pride. And he always disagreed with those things. And sometimes he just wasn't nice about it. He called them whitewashed tombstones. Well, I thought Jesus was loving. Yeah, but he doesn't love man-made religion. Amen? So he was calling it for what it was. They looked good on the outside, but they were full of dead men's bones. They had no life in them. And you know, you could paint a gravesite and make it look pretty good, but that doesn't put life in there. Amen? To agree means to see eye to eye. It means to come to an understanding. So if you're going to agree with someone, the person and you that you're agreeing with, they have to understand, you have to be on the same page. Okay? Otherwise, don't get into that agreement. To agree means to be of the same mind and to share the same thoughts. Now, this is all in the context of us agreeing with God. Because you cannot pray effectively if you're not in agreement with God. Amen? Amen? People who don't agree with God, they could pray twinkle, twinkle, little star, because that prayer would be just about as good as anything else they would pray because they don't agree with God. Right. To agree means to have perfect agreement on the subject under consideration, okay? To agree means to have an inward unity produced by the Holy Spirit, leading them into an agreement with God. All right? So let's go to the Gospel of John, chapter 14. John, chapter 14. We had a beautiful wedding yesterday, and Ron and Jamie Bolts, they got married yesterday, and we're just excited about what the Lord's going to do with them. Amen. I want you to look at John, chapter 14, and verse 6. We had talked about some agreement in John's gospel last week, and we're going to continue further with that as we go along this week. This is just part three of the power of agreement. Verse 6 in John 14, Jesus said unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Now, if you two are to agree with Jesus, you've got to understand that there is no other way to the Father. There is no other person who's going to produce life, and there is no other person who represents the truth.
Amen?
Amen? Okay? Let's read through verse 14. And then he said, if you had known me, you should have known the Father also. And from henceforth you know him and have seen him. Philip said unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it suffices us. Jesus said unto him, have I been so long with you, and yet have you not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me has seen the Father. And how do you say then, show us the Father? Believe you not? Don't you believe that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you are not of myself, but the Father that dwells in me, he does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very works' sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believes on me, the works that I shall do also, or he shall do also. Did you know that you're going to do the works that he did? And greater works than these shall you do, because I go to my Father. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. So what is he saying to us? He kept referring to the fact that the Father is in him and he is in the Father. That's agreement. That's unity. You can't get any more closer than being in someone or they're being in you. Amen? Have you ever heard of the phrase, someone's in your head? You know, because you keep thinking about this person and you haven't seen that person. They're just in your head. You know, they're in your thoughts and you're thinking about them. You're spending that time about them. So Jesus is the door of the Father, and him and the Father are in perfect agreement. They are in absolute agreement, because Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He is a perfect representative. Amen. Did you know that everything Jesus said was the Father talking? Because he did not even come to do his own will. Everything that Jesus did was the Father's doing. Every way that Jesus ministered was the way that the Father was leading him. He said, I do what I see my Father do. That's why every case that came to Jesus was different, because he was just doing what the Father was leading him to do. So you've got to believe in the agreement that Jesus has with the Father. Here, one of his disciples was saying, show us the Father. And Jesus said, well, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Wouldn't that be awesome? There was the Father in flesh and blood in the form of Jesus. Amen? And he was right there, but Philip couldn't see it. Philip didn't understand that truth. Okay? So, Jesus speaks the words of the Father. They are the same in sound, or they are the same words, and they sound the same. And the Father is also in the works that Jesus does. So the Father must believe that healing is God's will, because Jesus was healing people, and it was the Father in Jesus healing people. Say, healing is God's will. Say, God wants me healed. God wants me whole.
God wants
you to prosper. Say, God wants me to prosper. Was Jesus prosperous? How many poor people have a treasurer? How many poor people can take 12 guys wherever they go? Travel expenses. Amen? Just a thought. Okay? So we see this beautiful picture of agreement. Jesus was in complete agreement with the Father. And was there power that was released everywhere Jesus went? See, the agreement that he had with the Father produced the power in his life. I mean, he didn't really have to do anything. We know the story of the woman with the issue of blood, right? What was he doing? He was walking to Jairus' house. He didn't even have this woman on his mind. But because he was in such complete agreement with God that he maintained his agreement with God. He never broke his agreement. Too many times, we as Christians, we break our agreements with God. How do we do that? God tells us to do something and we say no. Do you realize when God tells you to do something and you say no, then you're breaking your agreement with God? And guess what? When you break your agreement with God, you short-circuit the power that was meant to be with you. When we get the idea that we can do things without God, you are treading down the wrong path. Jesus himself said, I can do nothing without my Father. Now, if Jesus could do nothing without his Father, what makes us think that we can do anything without our Father? How many know we need God in our life? You need to be faithful to God. Everybody say faithful.
Faithful.
Notice he never said be faith empty. Be faithful. We're supposed to be faithful in what? Big things or little things? Yeah, all things. If you're not faithful in the little, you're certainly not going to be faithful in the big. You know, we used to do this skit called the Call. And I've shared this before, but it involved two people. One person was sitting by the phone, waiting for God's call. They weren't doing anything. They were just waiting for God's call. And every time someone would come up to them with an opportunity to do something, and the person waiting by the phone would say, I'm sorry, I can't do that because I'm waiting for the call. And when God calls, it's going to be a big call. It's going to be an awesome call. And three times they had opportunities to participate in whatever. But then finally the phone rings. And the guy who's waiting by the phone gets all excited. And he picks it up. And he says, oh, it's for you. It was for the person who was doing stuff. Not for the person doing nothing. Christianity is not a do-nothing thing. Because Christianity is made up of doers of God's word. Let's go on to verse 19 through 26. Yet a little while, and the world will see me no more. But you see me because I live, you shall live also. How many agree that because Jesus lives, you're going to live?
Yes.
Well, what happens if I die? If you die, death is not cease of living. It's just a different location.
Right.
Amen? When you die, you just change locations.
Right.
Okay? And that day you shall know that I am in my Father. And you know, it's important for you to know this. You've got to know that Jesus is in the Father and the Father is in him. You've got to know that they're in perfect agreement. Amen? Everything, God agrees with everything in here. He wrote it. Okay? Verse 21, he that has my commandments and what? Did you know if you only have God's commands, that's only part of the agreement? What does it mean to have them? Well, how many people here have a Bible? Every person here has God's commands, okay? Now, don't raise your hands, okay? This is just a question to make you think. Now, all of us who have God's word, how many are keeping his word? Oh, I have several Bibles. Yeah, but what are you doing with all the Bibles that you have? People who don't do what God says, they don't agree with what God said. He that has my... Who's talking here? How do I know? Because it's in red. No. No, some Bibles don't have it in red. But he that has my commands and what? Keeps them, he it is that loves me. And he that loves me shall be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. The only way that God is going to manifest himself to people is for people to agree with him. And in order to agree with God, you've got to have his word and you've got to keep his word. Yes. Having and keeping are two different things that both must be done in order for you to meet your agreement. If you want God to manifest, you've got to have his word and you've got to keep his word. And when you do that, you're going to be loved by God, because God loves people who agree with his word. God loves people who are in harmony with his word. God loves people who are united, because when you're united to the word, you're united to Jesus. And when you're united to Jesus, you're united to the Father. And when you're united to the Father, you're united to the Holy Spirit. And I apologize, I'm united was a little tough to say. So, how many want Jesus to manifest himself to us? Isn't that what he said about prayer? When two or three agree as touching anything, it'll be done by my Father? And where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst? What happens when Jesus manifests himself to you? Good things. Everybody say, good things happen when Jesus manifests himself to me. You know, good things happened to Philip. Jesus manifested himself and took Philip from one place to another without a car, without a plane, without anything. He just went from here to there. He was translated. Good things happen when you agree with God. So, if there's any disagreement between you and God, let's work it out today. Amen. Because I want God to manifest himself to you. He goes on to say, Judas said unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. In other words, I'll use this example. God is going to move in, okay? Let's just say Elliot is a person who loves the word, and he is, by the way. And he's in agreement with God, all right? So based on that scripture, God's going to move in, and God's going to hang out with Elliot. And when Elliot's driving his truck, God's going to be in the passenger seat. And when Elliot is playing his guitar, God's going to be singing to him and dancing over it. He's going to be, because this is what happens when God moves in. He will manifest himself in every area of your life when we agree with God. There is power in agreement. And you've got to check up your agreement with God. Are you doing what you are supposed to do? Listen, don't have to worry about God. God always does what he says. God is not a man that he should lie. He always does what he says. His word is truth. His love never fails. It'll hold up under anything. The problem is not with God. The problem is with us. We don't keep our end of the bargain. And then we wonder why the power isn't working in our life. Well, This is a key right here. If you're not experiencing the power, check up your having and your keeping agreement. What has God said to me? Am I doing that? We got to be one with his commands. Because we got to agree with his commands. Okay? Verse 24. He that loves me not keeps not my sayings. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. So if you forgot what God said to you, he'll bring it to your remembrance. Do you remember when you were in that service and I told you to start tithing in VCF? Oh, you mean God will actually say that? Yes. Listen, when we're going down a wrong path that leads to destruction, we need correction. And someone who is teachable will take that correction, they will apply it to their life, and they will change their behavior. But Jesus said it clearly. He said, if you don't keep my commands, you don't love me. And when we're not keeping his commands, we simply don't agree with what he said. And he cannot manifest himself like he wants to. Let's go to John 15. You know, this thought just came to me. I hadn't thought about it before. But who was the disciple that could lay his head on Jesus' breast? Isn't it fitting how John would speak more of agreement than any of the others? There was something about John. You know, they couldn't kill John. They tried. They tried to boil him in oil. And when the oil was hot and bubbly, he got up out of oil and said, hey, guys, how you doing? That's when they had to exile him to Patmos. There must have been a power working in John because he was in agreement. Who took care of Jesus' mother when Jesus was crucified? It was John. Because I'm not going to let you take care of my parents unless you agree with me. If you disagree with me, you are not taking care of my parents. I'm telling you that right now. So John tapped into a level of agreement. Okay, in John 15, verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman, or the farmer. How many know that farmers and plants, they agree with each other, don't they? The farmer says, I'm going to plant you in the ground, and the seed says, I'm going to grow and produce a harvest. And they're in agreement. Otherwise, the farmer wouldn't plow the ground, he wouldn't plant the seed, he wouldn't water the seed, he wouldn't pull the weeds unless him and the plants were in agreement. And when the plants don't do what they're supposed to, there's a disagreement, we got to work it out, amen? So Jesus is the vine. God is the husbandman or the farmer. Every branch, notice the position of the branch. Where is this branch? In me. That is a sign of agreement. Didn't Jesus say the Father is in me and I'm in the Father? And he says, every branch in me that bears not fruit. How many know that God wants you to bear fruit? When you agree with God, things will be produced from your life, okay? You will do things for God. You will follow his will, okay? So if you're not bearing fruit, he's going to take you away. And every branch in me that bears fruit, he purges it or prunes it. And that it may bring forth more fruit. I know a little bit about pruning because I prune trees. And I could see the difference that a pruned tree will make. A pruned tree will blossom and bloom. It'll grow bigger and bigger. And because pruning removes the dead. You know that sometimes we can get bogged down with dead works. You know, Hebrews talks about delivering us, our conscience, from dead or evil works, right? You know, sometimes when we have dead works, what's a dead work? It doesn't do anything, doesn't say anything, doesn't produce anything. It's just laying there. A dead work can be like a dead weight. You know, we don't see race runners in the Olympics carrying weights with them, do we? You know, they don't like put on backpacks or big boots. They try to put on as little stuff as possible. Amen? So, if you're in Christ, you need to be fruitful. You need to produce fruit. Well, you could produce the fruit of the Spirit. That's fruit, right? That's your character. You need to do something for the kingdom. You can produce fruit by serving in the kingdom. Amen? You know, there's a lot of people, they just come to church and go, but they don't do anything. So, but when you're producing fruit, God will purge you to keep on producing fruit. You know, God agrees with fruitfulness. Okay? Now, you are clean through the word which I have spoken to you. Verse 4, abide in me. He's inviting us to come into an agreement with him. Abide means to be in the same place. It means to dwell. It means to be there. It's not just a visit, but you're dwelling there. You're living there. You're hanging out there. And we're supposed to abide in him. And I in you. That's agreement, isn't it? As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself. In other words, if there is a person who's not abiding in Christ, you will not produce fruit. Because the branch can't bear fruit by itself. The seed needs the ground. The ground needs the seed in order for both to produce something. Okay? As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can you. You can't bear fruit unless you abide in him. You got to hang out in Jesus. You've got to spend enough time in his presence to create a memory. Amen? Is your thirst satisfied with one sip of water? But sometimes people think that all they need is just one sip from God. I want more than a sip. I want him to anoint my head with oil so my cup runs over. Amen? I want an overflowing cup that God promises me. How am I going to get that? I'm going to agree with him. I'm going to get into an agreement with him. Okay? I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. I've seen that a lot. People who stop abiding, they become withered and dried up. Then he said, if you abide in me and my words, plural, abide in you, what's going to happen? You can ask what you will and what? It's going to be done, isn't it? Is that saying the same thing as Matthew 18, 19? Okay? Why did he say if? Because abiding isn't automatic. We have a choice. You're either going to abide in God or you're going to abide in something else. You're either going to trust God or you're going to trust something else. You're either going to put God first or God second. If God is not first, then something else is. Okay? What happens when you put God first? What does he promise to do? All these things will be added to you. All you've got to do is put God first. Make him a number one priority of your life. Hallelujah. So abiding is a form of agreement. All right? Go with me to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. I want to talk a little bit more about agreeing with God's commands. In verse 22, we're going to look at 22 and 23. And then, of course, I'm going to give you some examples on how agreement multiplies the results, whether positive or negative. Okay? 1 John chapter 3, verse 22. Whatsoever we ask, we receive of him. But there's a reason why this happens. What does it say? Because we what? Keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Well, what if I don't keep God's commands? Will I get what I receive in prayer? No. What if I'm not doing what I'm supposed to do there? Will prayer be effective for me? If I'm not keeping his commands or doing those things that are pleasing to his sight, that's going to affect my prayer life. You know, your prayers become effective based on your relationship with God. Now, God will hear people who are sinners because they're crying out to him for help. The Bible said, call upon me and what? You shall be saved. You shall be delivered. So when you're in a time of trouble, you know, there are times when God will give you one more chance before you have your dying breath to accept Jesus as your Savior. God is merciful that way. If we were to look back on our life and see all the opportunities that we had to accept Jesus before we did, we'd be amazed at how many opportunities we really had to accept Jesus. Some of us, it happens quicker. Some of us, it happens later. I'm just glad it happens. Don't leave here today without making Jesus your Savior. It is the best and greatest decision that you could ever make. If you don't know Jesus as Savior, meet him today. Don't leave here today without knowing him as your Savior. You invite him in and he'll come in. Then he goes on in verse 23. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ. Woo! We saw that today, amen? Let me ask you a question. How many people that came up for prayer today in the name of Jesus, they were touched? Raise your hand. Look at that. Why? Because there's power in the name of Jesus. And when we have faith in the name of Jesus, that means we agree with him. We agree with his agenda. Amen? That means him and I, we're speaking the same thing. We're thinking the same thoughts. This is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of the Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. Let me tell you something. We don't have an option but to love one another. If you've got a problem with someone, go to the person and work it out. But don't let petty little things keep you from relationships. That's of the devil. John 15:10 says, if you keep his commands, you abide in his love. Psalm 78:7 says, set your hope in God, but keep his commandments. Proverbs 19:16, to keep God's commands is to keep your soul. How many want to keep their soul? You know, we do release time every Thursday where we bring third, fourth, and fifth graders from public schools during school to this church to teach them a Bible lesson. And we've been doing it, is this our third or fourth year? I think this is our third or fourth? Third, okay, our third year. I have seen the behavior of kids change. Now, one of my students, I'm a listener and I'm several other things in release time. And when he first started coming to release time, I would call him rambunctious, okay? And my student, he'd like to just explore. He'd like to crawl under the seats. He'd like to do all kinds of things. And I'd always have to tell him, okay, now come on, sit down, let's sit down, all right? But you know what? I've had to do that less and less. Because he has sat under the teaching of the word, and I've seen kids' lives change. This year, we've had about seven kids accept Jesus Christ as their Savior for the first time. And if you ever think about release time, just pray about it. All right, we have about 33 kids coming from two schools. We only have two from one school and the rest from another school. So Forge School needs to increase. They need to start sending more kids, amen? Okay, now, whatever you agree with, the results will multiply. So when you agree with evil, evil results will multiply. When you agree with what's right, what the results that produce what's right will multiply. Okay? And I always give you the negative example first so that you don't leave with that negative mindset. Amen? So let's look at this. And go with me to Numbers 16. Numbers 16. And there was a person who didn't agree with the way Moses was leading the church of Israel. Okay? Now, Moses was the pastor of 2 to 3 million people. And Moses probably did more funerals than any other pastor ever did or ever will do. Because you realize for 40 years, there was a lot of people that died. And Moses had probably had to do a lot of funerals. Okay? And there was this guy that rose up named Korah. Verse 1, number 16, son of Korah, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, and Dathan, and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, and whoever. You know, sometimes you just got to go past these names. I mean, we don't name our kids these names today. Thank God. Can you say Eliezer Pishka? I mean, that's too many Z's. Okay. And they rose up before Moses with certain of the children of Israel, 250 princes of the assembly, famous in the congregation, and men of renown. Okay? So Korah had 250 people with influence to agree with him. All right? And they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron, and said to them, "You take too much upon you." I don't recall God telling Korah to go tell Moses he's taking too much upon him. Okay? And seeing all the congregation are holy. Oh, yes, everyone is holy. That's why so many people died in the wilderness. They're just holy. And every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Really? The Lord is only among those who agree with him. Okay? Wherefore, then lift you up yourselves above the congregation of the Lord. He's saying, why did you put yourself in that position? Let me tell you something. Moses didn't put himself in that position. If Moses could testify, he didn't want that position. He tried to get out of that position when God was having this conversation with Moses in the desert. Moses was given all kinds of excuses as to why he couldn't be the leader of Israel. Okay? I did not put myself in this position. Fiona did not put herself in this position. God brought us here. God put us here. Okay? All right? And when Moses heard it, he fell upon his face. That's someone who agrees with God. When you hear bad news, you take it directly. You go to Nemail, right? Moses didn't have a computer, but he had Nemail. He had a direct line with God where he could get on his knees and he could pray. Moses knew how to intercede. Thank God for leaders who know how to intercede. And he spoke unto Korah and his company, saying, "Even tomorrow the Lord will show who are his and who is holy, and will cause him to come near to him, even him who has chosen who he has chosen will he cause to come near to him. This do, take your senses, Korah, and all his company, put fire in them, and bring them before the Lord tomorrow. And it shall be that the man whom the Lord does choose, he shall be holy. You take too much upon you, you sons of Levi. Moses put it right back on him. Thank God for Moses. And Moses said unto Korah, "Hear, I pray you, you sons of Levi. Seems it but a small thing unto you that the God of Israel has separated you from the congregation of Israel to bring you near to himself to do the service of the tabernacle." Now, these were sons of the Levites. They were priests. They were serving. They had a prominent position. But we're going to see how agreement with Korah was the wrong thing. Okay? And let's go down. And look, let's go down to verse 12. Moses sent to call Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, which said, "We will not come up." So Moses said, "Okay, I want to meet with you." They said, "We're not coming up." All right? You know this look. We've done this many times, right? God tells you to do something, you say, "Nope, I'm not doing it." Oh, don't worry. I've done it myself in my past too. Amen. We've all done it. Okay? I'm not here to condemn you, but I'm here to help you. And verse 15, Moses was very wroth and said to the Lord, "Respect not their offering. I have not taken one ass from them, neither have I hurt one of them." And Moses said unto Korah, "Be by you and all this company before the Lord, you and they and Aaron tomorrow." And so they brought everyone to the Lord. And let's go down to verse 31. "And when it came to pass, as he had made an end of speaking all these words, that the ground clave asunder that was under them." What happened to people who followed Korah? The ground opened them up and swallowed them. See, when you agree with the wrong thing, it will multiply the results. All right? When you start agreeing with those lies that the enemy's been telling you, it's going to change you. How many know that David knew that Saul wasn't too favorable with him anymore? Because Saul was listening to the lies of the enemy, and he let bitter anger and wrath stir up on the inside of him, and Saul departed down a dark path. Okay? "So the earth opened its mouth and swallowed them up and their houses and all the men that appertain unto Korah and all their goods." Say, it's not a good day for agreeing with Korah. "And all Israel that were round about them fled at the cry of them, for they said, 'Let the earth swallow us up.'" I'm not going to associate with Korah anymore. I'm getting out of here. That was wisdom. You don't want to agree with people who rebel against God. How do you know when someone is not putting into practice what the Bible says, they're not agreeing with God, they're in rebellion with God. Okay? "And there came a fire from the Lord and consumed the 250 men that offered incense." Wow. "And the Lord spoke unto Moses, 'Speak unto Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, that he take up the censers out of the burning and scatter the fire yonder, for they are holy.'" And so not only did the earth swallow up all who agreed with Korah, but fire came and destroyed the 250 princes that were with Korah. I bet the angels that agreed with Satan are saying the same thing. Did you know a third of the angels followed Satan to try to help him exalt himself above God? And what happened? They got kicked out of heaven. And they lost their angelic status, and they're now known as demons or evil spirits or stuff like that. Okay? So what you got to be careful what you agree with. Because whatever you agree with, it will multiply. Husbands and wives, if you agree with a bad attitude or a bad behavior, it's going to multiply. But when you agree with a good behavior is going to multiply. So how many want to agree with good behavior? Amen? Amen? Okay, let's end on a positive note. And there were two spies who went into the promised land. Who were the two out of the 12 that got to go in? Joshua and Caleb. Okay? They went out for 40 days and spied out the land with the other 10. And they came back, and Joshua and Caleb spoke something different than the other 10 spies did. Joshua and Caleb, they agreed with God. And with what God said, they said, we are well able to take the land. Let's go in and take it. And now the 10 over here, they said, oh no, we can't take the land. The giants are too big. We're like grasshoppers in our sight. We're like grasshoppers in their sight. How did they know? Did they take a survey? Did the spies say, go around the Jericho and say, do you think we're grasshoppers? How many of you think we're grasshoppers? How did they know that? That was a lie that they agreed with. Only Joshua and Caleb were the ones who agreed with God. And because they agreed with God, they had God's power, and they asked that they had asked that they're going to go in and take the land, and God agreed with them, and God enabled them. He said, it'll be done by my Father, which is in heaven. God caused Joshua and Caleb to enter in. The 10 that disagreed with them, they did not enter in. They died. And because they brought an evil report, they were destroyed. So their agreement, see, Joshua and Caleb's agreement, it released the power of God. Not only did they get to go into the promised land, they had enough power operating in them to put up with the other bunch for 40 years. Think about it. Joshua and Caleb had to keep their faith for 40 years in the midst of all those complainers. All those people who weren't agreeing with God. Joshua and Caleb had to keep their agreement with God in the midst of disagreement. But it brought the power of God to their situation, didn't it? Because they got to go in. And go with me for just a moment at 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. I'm just impressed to tell you this because I don't want you to be involved in an unequal yoke. When the Bible refers to a yoke, it's talking about a wooden piece of equipment that would go on the necks of two oxen or two cows or two horses or whatever, and it would multiply their power to do whatever task that they needed to do. And when they were yoked together, they would have to be going in the same direction, going to the same place, going to the same destiny. Okay? Now here's what the Bible says in 2 Corinthians, and I'm going to close with this. Okay? Verse 2 Corinthians 6:14. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. If you're a believer, you don't want to be yoked to an unbeliever. Now, if you were both unbelievers in the beginning, that's okay. And one of you became a believer. For what is fellowship? What fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what concord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has he that believes with an infidel? Here's what the Lord showed me about an unequal yoke. An unequal yoke comes about when you compromise what you believe and embrace what you don't believe. How many know that if you have two belief systems, that's to be double-minded? Okay? You know, I just saw the movie God's Not Dead. It's a good movie. I'd recommend it to anybody. And this college student took a class from a philosophy professor who was an atheist. And he wanted everybody to sign a paper that says God is dead and sign their name to it. And this student wouldn't do it. He was the only one in the class that wouldn't do it. He refused to be unequally yoked. All right? An unequal yoke results when two do not agree. They do not see eye to eye. If you don't see eye to eye, you're going to be going in different directions. Okay? An unequal yoke is a result when there's two different belief systems. There's two paths and there's two directions. When two oxen are going together, they can't go in different directions because they're yoked together. But when you're unequally yoked, you got two people trying to go in two different directions. Okay? That's going to affect your agreement. It's going to hinder the power of God from operating in your life. An unequal yoke will go nowhere and no harvest will be produced. You'll spend all the time trying to get the oxen to go in the right direction. A lot of sweat, a lot of toil, a lot of hard work, and you're not going to produce anything when you're unequally yoked. Okay? And then finally, an unequal yoke is revealed by association, fellowship, communion, and accord. Those you commune with, those you fellowship with. So don't be unequally yoked. Amen? Amen. So the Lord is here today. And he's already moved in great degrees. And if you're here today and you want to be in agreement with God, maybe you haven't been. Maybe you need to be born again. Maybe you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I mean, I tell you what, being filled with the Holy Spirit is an awesome thing. It's a benefit and a privilege that we have. And the greatest decision that a person could ever make is to accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. And then from there, that opens the door to every blessing. And for those who have accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, then you need to be involved in things that Christ is involved in. You can't have Jesus as your Savior and never show up for church. Never be a part of a fellowship. Because that's clearly a disagreement of God's will. God wants you to be part of a family. Because you have to be attached to the vine. You know, Jesus is divine. He is divine and he is divine. So is there anybody here that needs to make Jesus their Savior? Is there anybody here that needs to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Amen? Do I have anybody here today? You've never made Jesus your Savior? Or you've never been filled with the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues? Because those are what the Bible promises. No one here? All right, let's all stand up. And how about if we just renew our agreement with God? And let's make a fresh commitment to be doers of God's word. Amen? Let's make a confession before the Lord. Say, Heavenly Father, I come to you this day, and I commit myself to you. I agree with all your words. They are truth and life. I will do them. I will follow your commands because I want your power as I walk with you. I want you to manifest yourself to me. Take my hand, Lord Jesus. Lead, guide, and direct me on the paths of righteousness for your name's sake. I will follow you. I will listen to your voice. I will stand up for what is right. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Amen. So let's check up our agreements. All right? Make sure you're doing your part. Don't have to worry about God. He's already doing his part. But it's our part that we have to watch over. Don't do someone else's part. Oh yeah, we like to try to do other people's parts. No, you do your part. Swim in your own lane. Amen? And we're going to see the power of God be released. Because there is power in agreement. Amen? We always have fellowship in our kitchen. The team's going to meet for Guyana. And have a blessed day. Father, as we go today, we're going to walk in the light of your countenance. We're going to experience your grace and your goodness. And we're going to be blessed, Father, because we love you. In Jesus' name, y'all have a great day.